This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to the Fly the W670 podcast, episode 14 of season number 4, grading the Cubs off season. Don't forget to listen, download, review, most importantly, subscribe to this podcast. Follow on all the socials, Fly the W670 on Twitter, Instagram, Fly the W on Facebook, or email us at flythew670@gmail.com. All right, Crowley, it's time to hit Cubs camp up, and there are all kinds of updates on all the latest stories out of Mesa. We got some exciting news this week. His manager Craig Counsell announced his opening day starter.
I can only give you one from the top of my head. Cody Petit is going to start.
All right, we're kidding there.
Hilarious.
We are kidding there. Craig Counsell was announcing the spring training opening day starter, Cody Petit, not the actual opening day starter. Here is Craig Counsell on what we all knew was going to happen.
I think that we got to get him there healthy. And then, of course, you know, I think it was a kind of a no-brainer, really, that Soto would be involved in that. So I think, you know, it wasn't really a tough decision. I don't think it was.
It just was so weird that now all of a sudden it's like, oh, of course it was. When last time he was kind of like, when he was asked by the Japanese reporter last time we talked, it was kind of like stumbling and bumbling. And everything that we knew was going to happen, Shota's going to get the ball in game one for just that, you know, epic matchup versus Yoshinobu Yamamoto. And then they announced today that Justin Steele's pitching game two. We all knew it. It was like you said, it wasn't some big state secret.
Yeah, I don't know why they had to make it into that. I mean, maybe I overreacted to it, but I do to most things when it just seems obvious that you should, do the right thing. It was
one of those things that I think we got used to, like David Ross, who was good with the media. He had good media exposure and he was on Dancing with the Stars and he was on ESPN. And before that, we had Joe Maddon. I mean, we had some pretty good managers when it comes down to it. As far as Craig Counsell, if you want to talk about the weakest part of just, you know, the entirety of his job, there's a lot that goes into his job. But I'd say the weakest aspect is dealing with the media, in my opinion. He just doesn't have, you know, and that's fine. Not everyone's Joe Maddon with the sunglasses on, you know, holding court with the media. They're not all Lou Piniella or Dusty Baker. We've had some really, you know, fun type.
Yeah, we've been pretty lucky in the big picture, right? In the big picture, we've been pretty lucky with that. I just don't know what the state secret is. That's to me,
Craig Counsell, he reminds me a lot of Bill Belichick of the Patriots. Remember where every single question was like a,
and a roll. Well, again, here's the difference. The rings. Okay. Yeah. He actually has some, you know, We hear so much about Craig Tember. I'm still waiting for Craig Tober.
No doubt, but it's just that same thing. It doesn't matter. It was like, even if it's something so obvious, every time you ask Brian, if you ask Bill Belichick a question, it was just basically like pulling teeth, rolling eyes. Like, why are you asking me that? It's like, even in that audio clip we played, well, you got to get health. Of course you got to get healthy. And then you're the opening day starter, but you don't have to even go there. Just say, yep, show it as the opening day starter. It's that simple. And then right. Jed talked a little bit about the simplicity in the decision. And here's what Jed had to say.
Yeah, I mean, I think either he and Steele, do they both deserve it, so to speak? I think obviously because we're going to be in Japan, it makes total sense to have Shota go in game one. I think it's going to be awesome, honestly. Like, I think they're starting Yamamoto. You know, we're starting, you know, Shota. I think that you look at that game we played in September. And the fan interest, worldwide fan interest, is going to be off the charts. I think it's an awesome thing just for the game of baseball. Dave Roberts and I were talking about that the other night. Just like, this is great for the game. And, you know, what better thing to have those two guys face off in game one, you know, with Shohei, with Seiya in the lineup. And it's awesome. And I think, you know, like I said, baseball is going to benefit from this.
He's absolutely right on all of that. And that's why the answer was so simple. Smacks you right in the face. Shota was 15-3 last season, Dustin, with a 2.91 ERA, was the Cubs' lone all-star representative, and he was part of the first no-hitter at Wrigley Field in 52 years, all while this is happening in his home country. So, of course, he's going to get the start. Now, Dustin, for Cub fans that want to watch this, and I was going to ask you about this here, for Cub fans that do want to watch opening day, we have, it's going to be on Fox Sports. Okay, March 18th, 6 a.m. Eastern time. So that would be 5 a.m. Central time, and also 5 a.m. the next day on March 19th on FS1. So, Dustin, does that mean you get the morning off? I mean,
no shot. There will be a special announcement about something very cool that we are doing for the March 18th game and then the March 19th game. I mean, I will not be doing my pregame show. I don't think, because we will be in our regular pregame, unless I'm the pregame to the pregame of Cubs baseball with Zach. But I know we will then be coming on after. But I mean, we may be doing shows from like 9:30 to 9:45. I mean, seriously, we might be doing, but no, it won't be. It won't be off days. But there will be an announcement coming on Mully and Haw about some fun things happening at the station with the show on the 18th. Nothing out of the ordinary, though, on the 19th.
Yeah, and like I said, this whole thing is really cool. And what I love about it is that they asked Shota Imanaga about it, and he was really kind of quick to thank, like, all the Japanese players that came before him, whether you're talking about, you know, Yu Darvish, or whether you're talking about Kosuke Fukudome, or any of the Japanese players that came before that, you know, now you have this opportunity where you have two Japanese starters on the biggest stage. It's really going to be awesome. I'm super excited about it. But, you know, a lot of people, Dustin, you know, when we take a look at the off season, we have the first spring training game tomorrow. And so you don't think that there's probably going to be too many more big moves left. Maybe you get a backup center fielder, maybe something minor. But this is kind of pretty much it. You know, we talked about how most of the Athletics top 40 free agents are all signed except for two that are like in the bottom half of in the late 30s. And so the Athletic every year issues grades for all 30 teams. And this is what the Athletic had to say about the Cubs. Quote, Chicago made its most aggressive move in years by picking up Kyle Tucker from the Astros, probably the second best player to change teams this winter. Plugging a healthy Tucker into Cody Bellinger's old spot in the lineup is an upgrade that should push the Cubs beyond the 83-win plateau and towards the top of the NL Central. Another trade with Houston for Ryan Pressly helps the back end of the bullpen. An outright A is within reach, with maybe one more significant move. The Cubs were in on Alex Bregman late in the winter, and after coming up short, there's still cash on hand to use. A homecoming for Dylan Cease, a veteran bat to add to the lineup mix, or a bolstering of the bullpen are on the table, which could lift Chicago into serious contention in the National League as a whole. Now it goes on to mention the acquisitions this offseason, outfielder Kyle Tucker, left-handed pitcher Matt Boyd to a two-year deal. Ryan Pressly, we talked about, right-handed pitcher Eli Morgan, catcher Carson Kelly, Justin Turner, who we're going to talk about in a minute, left-handed pitcher Caleb Thielbar, and right-handed pitcher Ryan Brasier, and right-handed pitcher Colin Ray, third baseman John Birdie, right-handed pitcher Cody Poteet, utility infielder Vidal Brujan, and infielder Nicky Lopez. I mean, that is a ton of moves, Dustin.
Yeah, a lot of moves, yep.
And then when you talk about the subtractions, Cody Bellinger, we'll wait and see how that works. I think even if he has a good season, you can't compare it because of the lineup he's going to be in and the park he's going to be hitting in, which is perfect for left-handed hitters. Maybe he has a great year. I don't know. Kyle Hendricks, I love Kyle Hendricks as a player and the human being, but you know, the best of his career is over. Mike Tauchman, good for spot starts. You know, okay. Jorge Lopez.
Well, I am curious on the Tauchman front. I am curious to see what he's like as an everyday guy. I mean, again, pressure different on the south side of town versus the north side of town. But I am curious to see Tauchman as an everyday guy.
When you see him every day, they figure him out quickly. It's not going to be as good as when he just gets those little bursts of starts and can go on a run for about, if he can get hot for like a week or two, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's not going to work over 150. They lost Jorge Lopez to the Nationals. Isaac Paredes was involved in the trade. Hayden Wisniewski. So no big deal. Jim Bowden of The Athletic also gave out offseason awards, and the Cubs were recognized for the best trade for one team, obviously the Kyle Tucker trade. And Bowden said the front office improved its bullpen depth the most. So, I mean, those are pretty accurate statements, and you know, I wouldn't disagree with any of that, would you?
No, all makes sense. Checks all the boxes. Nothing to get excited about for me.
I would easily leave it as a B. In case you were wondering, Dustin, how the rest of the NL fared on their report cards, the Reds also had a B, like the Cubs. The Pirates got a C. They were disappointed they didn't do more, especially when you have.
Well, you got to do something when you got Paul Skeens. I mean, you got to make a move, right? You got to make a move.
The Brewers made a few trades, but no free agents. They got a D, and the Cardinals got a big fat F, not adding any players to their roster. Really, it's remarkable about how. You know, the Cardinals were always, their front office was just always the envy of baseball. Now you're looking and you're like, what are you guys doing?
Yeah, it's kind of head scratching. There's no doubt about that.
Now, maybe the Cubs were going for a B+ because after the report card came out, they added a couple more depth pieces to the roster. We know that the Cubs' interest in Justin Turner was reported a few weeks ago by Bob Nightingale as an alternative if they couldn't land Alex Bregman. Well, they didn't land him. So Justin Turner signs a 1-year $6 million deal. I was listening, you know, to Mullion Haw this morning, and I kind of got a laugh when you were talking about bringing Coomer out to play third base. Morosi wrote that Turner turned down a more lucrative offer elsewhere because he wanted to be a Cub.
Any guess where, any just stab in the dark, any idea where that might have been?
I don't know. And I don't know how much more he was getting than $6 million. It was Eric Karros that I remember saying that everyone should play for the Cubs once in their
right.
life,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know? And so it, to me, I can understand, like, and that was Bregman too. He, you know, Detroit had the longest deal and, you know, it was right in the range that he roughly wanted it in, but he was, you know, it was down to the Cubs in Boston as far as, you know, those type of being able to play for those franchises. But when I look at this, you know, the front office was excited. Players were excited. Everybody was, you know, saying the right things as far as how excited they were. We definitely have some talk. I think this is Jed, or Craig Counsell talking about depth at first base.
In the organization, first base is a place where, you know, not I shouldn't say in the organization, just major league ready and major league kind of. Capable. It's just we're shallow. We're just shallow depth wise there. So it's a position of need. And so it's probably, as you look around the kind of like depth chart, so to speak, at the major league level, it's probably the greatest area of need.
So obviously Matt Mervis was traded in the Vidal Brujan trade, but yeah, Justin Turner is going to play first base. He's going to be playing very little third base. And depth-wise, you know, it seems to be a good move. We talked on the last show about Alexander Canario was taking reps, but he's not in every, you know, he's transitioning.
Not ready yet. He needs more reps. If anything, you have him do that stuff at the minors.
Dustin, I don't know if there's room. To me, there still has to be a corresponding move. And so what that is, I don't know, but it wouldn't shock me the next time you and I talk if Alexander Canario is traded for cash considerations. That's
wow. Okay.
I mean, where are you going to put him in AAA? You got Kevin Alcantara. You got Owen Casey. They're solid there. I just don't see an opening for him right now. And so that's kind of where I'm at. One thing Jed Hoyer talked about was what Justin Turner does bring to this team.
You always want to add, you know, guys that, you know, taking the biggest at bats in the game and can keep a slow heartbeat and can, you know, potentially teach young guys some of those skills, I think is always really important. You always want those guys in your clubhouse.
We talked about, you know, Tommy La Stella was nicknamed by Joe Madden 3 a.m. joking around. He could fall out of bed at 3 a.m. and still get a base hit, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Cubs did not. Alexander Canario is not that guy. Like I said, he's not a pinch hitter. Do you have someone that can come off? This is what Mike Tauchman did give you. You're talking about.
Well, I think Justin Turner can be that guy.
Exactly.
Yes, so he's that guy. And he brings pop.
Right. With Mike Tauchman, he was a guy that even if he didn't play for a week, he may strike out, but he would give you a 9, 10, 11, 12 pitch at bat. He would give you a competitive at bat.
Right. And Justin Turner doesn't strike out.
Right. And so
he doesn't strike out.
It's a move that makes sense. It works. Like I said, he's, and you wonder if he can maybe mentor Matt Shaw at third. Obviously he doesn't have the skills.
Seems the kind of guy that would be willing to do that from afar. Right.
Right. And this is what they're talking about is bringing in guys with championship experience that can slow their heartbeat down in the big game. Dustin, I don't know if you remember this. 2017, the Cubs make it to the NLCS. They beat the Nationals in an unbelievably hard fought series.
Mm-hmm.
And the plane had to get detoured on the way over. There's going to be a story, a book about the 2016 Cubs, the 2015, 16, 17. And I can't wait to read the chapter about what happened with that landing. I think it was something with Quintana's wife. Either way, they lose game one. They were just absolutely exhausted and tired, and it showed on the field. Game two was a tie game. I want to say bottom of the 11th, 1-1. And Justin Turner was going up against John Lackey, who was coming out of the bullpen.
Yep, we played that clip on the air.
And Tucker hit the second walk-off home run in Dodgers history. The first one was the Kurt Gibson. That was the second mm-hmm. walk-off playoff win for the Dodgers, and that was Justin Turner. And I remember that 2017 series. I was there. Oh, my God, it was awful watching. I remember watching the Dodgers absolutely crush the Cubs in that final game and just sitting there watching them celebrate on the field was awful. But Justin Turner was a big part of that team. He's not that player, but he can still give you professional at-bats. He can still give you, be a pinch hitter that can be useful. The Cubs also signed former White Sox pitcher Chris Flexen to a minor league contract. He was 3-15 with a 4.95 ERA in 33 games. But Dustin, you know, I'm not going to sit there and look at anyone that was on that White Sox. That White Sox team was bad up and down as far as hitting, as far as the bullpen. There was nothing good about that team. I don't think
camp arm. This guy's a camp arm.
He's right.
Protection. If somebody gets hurt, he's a camp arm.
He pitched 160 innings last season. He's an inning eater, or as Craig likes to call him, an out getter. And so it's just a depth piece that like you said, in case of emergency, grab Chris Flexen. But, you know, I just don't know if there's any more big moves. I don't think, you know, I heard that the Padres, again, were looking possibly at Jose Quintana. You know, they keep saying they're not interested in getting rid of Dylan Cease. I still wonder.
I'd be shocked if something big happened at this point.
It's not out of the realm of possibility, you know, and it's not like Cease is sitting out, right? He's at a camp and he's getting his work in. And so it's not like it would be like, you know, somebody just coming off, you know, like someone that's coming in late to camp. I think it would work. It's just a question of how serious are the Padres about cutting payroll? Because if you can get Jose Quintana cheap and then get rid of Dylan Cease, you could save yourselves a lot of money. We'll see what happens. But that's why right now I would say the grade is a B. There are moves that I wish the Cubs would have made. And now you know, when you talk about it, I was okay with getting rid of Cody Bellinger because I said to myself, where's he going to play? Okay. And then you take the $25 million he was owed and spend it. And I feel like the Cubs didn't do as good of a job spending. They got good players, but they could have gotten better ones for a little bit more money. They got Ryan Brasher. He's really good, you know, or Ryan Presley, but you could have gotten Tanner Scott. You could have gotten Presley and Tanner Scott. That 1-2 combination would have been something else.
Yeah, they got no A's. They got some B's and C's. That's what they got.
Right. And you could have gotten Alex Bregman. You could have gone there and done some deferred money.
I don't know about easily gotten Bregman. You know, the other thing, we had the interview with the reporter from The Athletic yesterday on the Mully and Haw show, who had the story about Theo's role in the whole thing.
Yeah.
Other really important thing when you listen to these interviews is that Bregman's wife is pregnant and is enrolled at Harvard. Do you know where Harvard's at?
Yeah,
Boston area, right? So I'm just there are other aspects of this, right? It's you know, $10 million more helps, but you know, as we all know, happy wife, happy life.
Not only that, Justin Turner, and when you're talking about where were the other offers, his wife is from Indiana.
She's got some Indiana ties, right? Correct. So there are those things do come into play, and you have to keep that in mind when you're dealing with free agency. Going back to the shortstops. Right. When we had the great offseason of shortstops. Okay. Mm-hmm. Who was the shortstop now with the Philadelphia Phillies? His wife is from that area and wanted to stay east and wanted to remain having the spring training. Right. She wanted to have spring training in Florida.
That was Trey Turner. And then don't forget that Dansby Swanson's wife played for the Chicago Fire.
Oh, see, I'm just saying, look at all the dots were connecting in this. Okay. We're not making this stuff up. We're not throwing darts here. There is something to this. So this is not always this. I feel like I'm carrying water for the Ricketts. I can't believe I'm doing that, but boy, does Kenny Rosenthal and now Buster Olney jumps in. I mean, are they just not getting enough information out of Clark and Addison? So now they're going to throw darts. It's just ridiculous.
We'll get there in segment three, but there definitely is questions that need to be asked. I'll tell you that much.